Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast, the podcast where funny people do art and have a chat with me, your host, Annie McGrath. This week, I'm joined by the brilliant producer, writer, painter, Ollie Cambridge. He's a very funny boy, man, in fact, and this was his first ever podcast. What an honour. If you want to see mine and Ollie's paintings from the episode, then make sure you're following us on social media. At Secret Art Pod. See you on the other side.
I've brought in, I don't know if you know about these, they're Crayola felt tips.
Oh yeah, nice.
And then I've put us each out a palette of acrylic paints of sort of varying colours, mainly neon pink, orange, a dusky blue, a royal blue.
Yeah.
Black, which I don't ever paint with, but I feel like some people like the option of black.
Yeah, do you not paint with black because you've been taught not to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you paint with black?
I used it once
for
some black shoes because I wanted them to be really black.
And
but otherwise, yeah, no, don't ever use it, especially with watercolours. Like,
I've used it occasionally when I'm doing like a really dark night sky, but I would use mainly like a phthalo blue, and then I've used like black ink to give it a different texture. But generally, I'm quite terrified of using black.
Yeah, there's no going back, is there?
There's no going back.
Yeah.
There's no going black.
Yes, exactly.
Can I read you out an intro?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's your first podcast?
Yep.
Okay, how are you feeling?
I'm not going to look at you while you read the intro.
Where are you going to look?
Just down at my hands.
Ollie Cambridge is a comedy writer and producer known for working on shows such as A Whole Lifetime with Jamie Dimitriou on Netflix, Live at the Moth Club on UK TV Play, and BBC sitcoms Ellie and Natasha, This Way Up, Please Like, and lots more. Aside from producing comedy, Ollie is also a fantastic painter, and I'm excited about having him on the podcast.
Thanks very much. It's all factually accurate.
How did you feel during that?
Good. Yeah. It was no different to just looking at my IMDb and feeling... Oh, yeah. No,
dead inside.
Yeah, feeling dead inside. it feels good to be on here. Have you ever had a producer on before?
I've had the producer of this podcast, but he's also a comedian.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
No outright producers.
Interesting.
But you're also a proper artist, so this is legit.
Yeah, well, the art thing is more... sort of the last 5 years, I went on I was into it at school, but then it just went by the wayside when I started working. But
you're brilliant at it.
I'm selling them.
Great.
Which is good. That, I think, legitimizes it, doesn't it?
Definitely. That counts as professional, I think.
Yeah. I think so. But I do feel quite sheepish about discussing myself as anything.
Right.
Like an art, discussing myself as an artist feels... Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that. And also
don't feel comfortable
as a producer or a writer or anything.
What would you say if you met a stranger, which you must do?
I do. Mostly at weddings.
Yeah,
just
and they
sort
ask
of like,
what you do.
Yeah, I just mumble. Yeah, I just sort of TV stuff. And you probably, I don't know if you've heard of it. But anyway, and then I sort of talk to them about their job.
That's because exactly
actually
what I do.
It's really not that...
comedy writing.
It doesn't feel that interesting to talk about at a wedding.
No, but then people, as soon as they get a glimpse of like TV or comedy, they think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
If they've got a proper job. And then immediately you're like, no, it's not as interesting as it sounds.
Yeah.
And then try and play it down and then tell me about recruitment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that too many times. You're always going back to them later in the party for extra details about it.
Yeah. So today we are doing, I'll let you explain your muse that you've brought.
It's a tureen. That I bought from around the corner. with a knife next to it and on a white plate. And the tureen is the reason the dog started jumping at me when I walked into the office, because I didn't realise I had a pocket full of meat.
There's but a it dog looks in the like... studio, and yeah, he was very drawn to you, and we now realise why, because you were carrying so much meat.
I just thought it was popular, but I just had a pocket of beef. But I don't know what meat is in it, so it's a kind of, it's a very neat looking tureen.
Yeah, when we unravelled it from the cellophane, I had to sort of look away. I find it quite repulsive to look at.
Yeah, the middle bit, I don't know what that is.
A prune? I worry that it's like offal.
Oh, really? Well, I will be eating this at the end of it. So I can... Well, I don't think I've had offal before, so I won't be able to know if it's out.
And how are you going to start?
I might just start by figuring out which way I want to do it.
Yeah, how do you normally begin a picture?
Well, the good thing about drawing food is that you don't have to be that accurate, because food stuff tends to be different each time. Like every corner in the cob is different, right?
That's true.
It's sort of why I started doing so many food pictures.
I love your food pictures. You normally work in watercolour for those, don't you?
Yeah, they're very small. They're about the size of a sort of the end of your thumb.
Yeah. And what inspired those?
Well, I did it for a birthday present for Jamie Dimitri, who I used to live with. Mm-hmm. He loved the film Phantom Thread. Mm-hmm. So I drew him the breakfast order in a Phantom Thread, the foodstuffs. And
the rashers of bacon.
Yeah, rashers of bacon, two sausages, jam on scones or something. And then he actually posted it, and then other people just sort of said, oh, can you do one for me? A bit like that.
That's
but
great.
With my favourite foods. And then that sort of snowboarded. It's very popular at Christmas.
Mm-mm. Yeah. What's your favourite food to paint?
Meat and fish.
You're not vegetarian, are you?
I sort of am. I sort of am, but it's like it gives me an excuse. I'm like, oh,
I've
drawn this fillet now, and I need it'd be awful to put it to waste. I don't know why I'm drawn to that.
That's why you paint meat, so that you have an excuse to eat it.
Well, I love the colour of it. I don't really know.
This is beautiful. I mean, aside from being absolutely repulsive, the colours in it are really. Quite beautiful shades of pink.
And this pink you put on the plate is nice.
Yeah, the pastely one.
Yeah. I'm thinking Top Shot might be quite nice.
Top Shop?
Top Shot.
Top Shot. Oh, yeah.
Of the tureen.
You've got the producer's eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Top Shot, the tureen.
What would the artist be saying? The
aerial view? Or is that the geographer? I don't know.
The architect. That's good.
It really smells meaty, doesn't it? The dog is going to lose his absolute mind.
Yeah, we can maybe give a bit, maybe give push that middle bit out for the dog later.
Yeah.
I was reading this book by this artist called Philip Guston. And he said that he just goes straight on with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I found interesting.
Oh, good.
He went through a phase of sketching, but that mostly just goes straight in. Is this acrylic?
Yeah.
I haven't used acrylic since school.
Oh, really?
This is brand new to me. Well, not.
I'm very bad with. I actually don't think I own any watercolours, but I don't think I have the patience for watercolour. How do you?
Well, you don't need. I think the thing that's satisfying about watercolour is that it's immediately done. I mean, it will dry so quickly.
Yeah, but then if you do one stroke wrong, you can't really paint over it, can you? I feel like you have to be very delicate.
No, that's annoying. The paintings I do are like, it'll be a list usually of five or so bits of food or objects. And they do tend to take about half an hour to an hour each item.
Right.
So you can get to the very end and then mess up the last one.
Oh, God,
and
nightmare.
Then you're like, oh, do you know what? I just can't give that to that person. It's not...
So then you just start again?
Yeah.
Do you feel more pressure when you get to the final item?
Yeah. Usually the final item... I do a lot of people have wine at the bottom of their list.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right, I am going to ask for another...
Bit of paper?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why are you starting again?
Because I was just so into talking that I just started making marks, and at one point even drew a corn on the cob because we were talking about corn on the cobs. But I think I just want to do some sketching, get the composition I want, and God, then we're
going to
go.
I love that. I think you sort of know what you're doing more than I do.
No. Mm. Let's have a look. I'm going to twist this around if you don't mind. Is that okay? Have I ruined it for you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
No, it's fine.
I just did it and then asked.
No, I got change it to how you want. I'll take a picture of it how it is now and then you change it to how you want.
I feel terrible.
That's all right. Your artwork, so you do these beautiful watercolour illustrations of food that we've talked about. But recently you've moved on to sort of more surreal oil paintings. Is that fair?
Yes. And oil paintings was always something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But never really had the space to do it because you need good ventilation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work bigger. Mm-hmm. So I was restricted with the watercolours. Part of the reason they're so small is because I had only a small desk to do it on.
Mm-hmm.
So then I rented a studio for a little bit just mm-hmm. while I had some time off from work, by choice, not for like any sort of medical reason. And I decided, oh,
that made it sound like it definitely is for a medical reason.
And then, yeah, that was it really. I just sort of went out to get inspired by stuff, and I had I didn't have a religious upbringing, but I went to a religious school, and I've always quite liked that religious art.
Yeah.
The Renaissance. And so I guess there's like a bit of a leaning towards that stuff.
Yeah. They're really cool. I love your paintings.
Thanks. Thanks very much. That was very kind.
And did it help having the studio? Do you feel like you did sort of progress your work and do bigger
paintings? I did. But I'm disappointed that I didn't do more. And I sort of bought it as the incentive to do stuff, whereas I should have had a couple of ideas before I bought it. So the first couple of weeks I had it, I was sort of just cutting out magazines and trying to figure it out. But that is part of the process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So do you always work from existing images? Or do you ever work from the mind?
No, the mind, yeah, it's a bit of both. Mm. I think it's good to, as a starting point for me, to have an image.
Yeah.
And then do my interpretation. Like, do you know Decherico? Giorgio Decherico?
Yeah, I think I do. Remind
me. Sort of like, I want to say a metaphysical artist. Mm-hmm. Sort of in the... He's an Italian, and he's got these quite cool... sort of Dali-esque scapes.
Yeah.
That have these strange sort of pillars and arches,
yes,
and
yeah,
like infinite horizons. And I didn't actually used to like him that much, but the more I started painting, the more I got into him. I kind of got it a bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm inspired by him and some of the Renaissance people, like Fra Angelico,
mm-hmm.
who did some quite... you call it surreal stuff.
Mm.
It's always quite surprising when you find some surreal Renaissance stuff.
Yeah. Have you ever combined your food pictures with those sort of surreal Renaissance style oil paintings?
No.
That could just be quite cool.
Yeah. I've got a plan for a painting that I want to do, and that does feature a fish.
Mm.
But yeah.
Again, you're Catholic upbringing coming into it.
I know, that's so like out of nowhere as well. Just started drawing a fish in it. So,
oh, well, I guess I'm a fish artist.
Oh well.
Do you do art classes, like life drawing or anything?
I've done a couple and I've loved it.
Yeah.
It's sensational. I mean, any level of artist can go and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I went to one in Angel. You have a glass of wine and you can sort of ask if you want criticism or not.
I've been to that one. I really loved it.
Oh, yeah. It's on the top of a...
Candid Arts
Trust. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought the teacher was so good.
Really good.
Because as you say, he sort of offered up suggestions, but wasn't really... Sometimes I find they talk way too much or they're really sort of... They don't look at your work at all. But I thought he really nailed the amount he sort of spoke to you.
So great. I sort of made a pact to myself that I would go every week.
Yeah, I did exactly the same.
I've me back.
I've been once.
Yeah, it's not good form, is it?
No.
you do think there is nothing quite like painting something from real life, there is there?
Yeah, exactly. I've got into painting pregnant women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw some of those. They're brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
At your open studio.
My studio open day. That was fun.
What is that because we're at the age now where...
Yeah, so my friend Lauren was pregnant last year and she showed me this photo of her pregnant and I just thought it was so beautiful, the way the light was shining on her. And it was a selfie, so I quite liked that her phone was in the image. But there was also this huge, like, poppy painting framed in the background. So I just really liked the composition.
Yeah.
So I asked her if I could paint it and then got some nice feedback from that.
Great.
And then a lot of my other friends are pregnant, so I just thought it's quite fun painting the female form.
It is.
Like that. I love all the curves. And yeah, I just quite like the sort of selfie element of it as well.
Yeah.
But I worry that I do look insane now because my studio is just full of pregnant people taking photos of themselves.
No, I think it's very nice.
Thank you.
There's some great stuff in your studio. I met the other artists there as well.
Yeah, Dan Quirk, my studio neighbour. He's an absolute dream.
All very great.
Yeah. Do you do much sort of Ents or is it all scripted?
Yeah, I used to do a bit.
Oh, yeah, of course. You did the Jonathan Ross show, didn't you?
Yep. Did a good 9 series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what made you want to move into scripted comedy?
Well, there's like a dead area between... If you're not in development, it's really hard to work in scripted comedy. So, and to get a job on a show, like, there's no real assistant producer roles on your favorite sitcoms, or maybe there are now, but back in the day I just found it impossible. You're either producer, line producer, or like a coordinator. There was just like this sort of gap.
Yeah.
So the only way to sort of make money was to move into entertainment and do the research roles and do the assistant producer roles. And so I did that. And I think it was great. I loved doing the Jonathan Ross show.
Yeah.
That's why I did 9 series of it. It really teaches you a sort of the discipline of getting work done. Because you got a show on a Thursday night and on Monday you start work on a Friday for the following Thursday.
Yeah.
You got 1 week to know your guest inside out. So you divide up the guests at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
It's almost like a draft system. You go, okay,
yeah,
so
like
who wants Tom Cruise? Oh, I want Tom Cruise. Okay, well, you had Tom Cruise, so you don't get to pick episode 2. Episode 2, who do you want? You want Amy Poehler? Okay, Amy Poehler. So Ollie's got Amy Poehler, so now that you've got Amy Poehler, maybe you have to have Paddy McGuinness. So Paddy McGuinness is a really fun part of the series. And you meet so many cool people, and they're all... You know, you quickly realise everyone's a human and everyone's just sort of quite nervous to go on the show because they're being exposed.
Yeah. Nicest guest?
Nicest guest. Oh, my God. You'd think I'd have had that at my sleeve.
Beckham.
Did have Beckham. But, yeah.
I wanted to ask worst guest, but I sort of knew you wouldn't answer that.
I can't, can I?
No. That was me inadvertently asking.
There are definitely scoundrels out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Worst but then, experience in TV you've had?
No.
Again, horrible question.
No, the worst, not, I didn't have my worst experience on that show. My worst experiences are usually just in the middle of filming something and something's gone wrong.
Right.
Like, that you could never, ever prepare for.
Yeah.
I do want to answer the nicest guest thing because it's good for people to know, isn't it? The amount of people I interviewed for it.
So you actually interview the guests before, do you?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that when I got the job.
Wow.
So
do you have to dress up as Jonathan Ross?
Yeah. There was someone that wondered whether I was... It was Berry Gordy, who's a founder of Motown.
Oh, right.
I was in his dressing room talking through the interview, saying, Jonathan's going to ask you this, he might ask you that. You got this great story on that. And sort of halfway through, he was like, sorry, are you Jonathan? Like, he hadn't seen the show.
That's amazing.
I took that as a compliment, of course.
Did you tell Jonathan?
No.
Imagine you were Jonathan and you'd just gone in, started talking about yourself in the third person. Yeah, Jonathan's going to ask you this. Like, is this guy right?
Yeah. It is very impressive, the amount of work he does and has to do in order to run these interviews.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a real skill. It's very impressive. I did like Celine Dion. She was very nice.
Yeah.
That's a good person to say, isn't it?
Brilliant person to say.
I really like Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked Burt Reynolds. He was great.
There you go. You've named more than one person.
Yeah, selfish. Yeah, he was brilliant and very generous with his time.
That's nice.
Yeah. Actually, you'd like this. I had a great pre-interview with Thierry Henry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like an hour-long chat.
That's all I want to hear about him.
I don't think I've had any other Arsenal legends.
Had any Chelsea legends?
Frank Lampard.
Were you excited by that?
Yeah.
Ollie is a Chelsea fan.
I didn't get to have a pre-interview with him. Oh, Cristiano Ronaldo. That was another footballer.
Yeah.
Just naming people now.
We talked about him at the weekend, didn't we?
It's all I talk about.
Can't say what I said at the weekend.
I highly recommend working on an entertainment show like that. Not just for those sorts of experiences, but just because the teams are always really fun. And
well, yeah. Also, I think it's quite rare in TV that you get a sort of regular team that you're working with week in, week out for such a long time.
So yeah.
Are you still mates with your Jonathan Ross people?
I am.
That's nice.
Yeah. I haven't seen them for a long time, though.
Celine
it makes
Dion.
It sound like I'm not friends with them. Just Celine. She and I are on WhatsApp. But I do have to catch up with some of them because, yeah, they're a laugh.
Oh,
they might listen
nice.
To this.
The
white bits are disturbing, aren't they? I've just
I
thought
can't
about that.
Get the right. I'm trying to get that creamy, yellowy white colour.
Yeah.
The inner bit of. Is that some sort of pastry on the outside?
That's pastry, yeah.
I'm trying to get the white of
it's
the pastry.
It's a lovely golden colour.
Yeah.
Hello, it's me, Annie McGrath from Secret Artist Podcast. Just thought I'd pop in and interrupt myself to promote my gig, Annie McGrath and Friends, which is coming up on the 31st of October, aka Halloween. Ooh. If you're not out trick-or-treating, then I would urge you to come to 21 Soho, where I will be joined by a fantastic lineup of comedians. Vittorio Angeloni, Elf Lyons, Sean McLaughlin, Dan Cook, and Bronwyn Sweeney. And it's going to be a great night of stand-up. So book tickets via 21 Soho's website and hopefully see you there. Ooh, I'm scared.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you find painting commissions more stressful than just painting for your own pleasure?
Yes. Do you?
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're not it doesn't feel quite yours.
Yeah. And do you send pictures of the work as it's in progress, or do you wait till the end and you're like, this is it?
I just send it towards the end.
And then do you ever have to make changes, or do they ask, or do you not offer that as a thing?
No. I don't think I've had a bad situation.
That's good.
Have you?
I've had difficult situations, but I probably have not I think I've handled it fine, but I just maybe give people too many options. So I'm like, let me know what you think, or if you want me to change anything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, they don't always necessarily know, but then if they're given the option, they're like, oh, well, maybe.
Yeah. I guess you need to trust that you are the artist.
Yeah.
And that they've commissioned you. It's really hard to get over that. But I don't really do portraiture. The only face I've done is mine. Mm. That's terrifying.
I once had, I did a commission, and it was a sort of family picture, like three portraits.
Yeah.
And the person who commissioned me asked me to make her nose smaller.
Oh, really? And did you?
Yeah.
By what percentage?
It was an accurate portrayal, but you can't say that to someone.
You were like, oh, do you know what? You're absolutely right. I don't know what I was thinking.
I think I was like, yeah, sure. Time. Should have done what you just suggested.
But. Yeah.
That'd be the normal thing to do.
You could write on the back of the... Do you frame your things before you send them off?
No. God, that would cost £1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I have framed them. I've framed gifts. Like when I've done someone a commission for like a wedding present, I've had it framed.
But, oh, yeah.
Or if they ask advice on framing, do that. But framing is so expensive.
Yeah, it's scandalous. I don't understand quite the... range of prices.
I know
that you can. There's a place up in North London. They will quote you six times more than your average framer. Mm. You can tell a good frame.
You can, and it can make or break.
It can make or break, but I don't think the difference is that much.
No. Going back to producing.
Yeah.
Do you think producing sketch shows requires a greater level of creativity than
a greater level of talent?
Linear. Sitcoms.
No, a greater level of what, sorry?
Creativity.
I mean, you certainly have to be creative on a budgetary sense.
Yeah.
You just can't film everything the way you want to film it because mm-hmm. it's so expensive, a sketch show. So you end up doing loads of like double location shoots and cheating things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of creativity that comes from that element. Some water.
It was interesting what you were saying the other day about the sustainability angle. Yeah. Can you explain Albert to people who might not know?
Yeah, and I have quite recently been on an Albert course.
Oh, great.
Great. But also, I'm under pressure now to get it right.
Okay.
The main takeaway is it's named after Albert Square, but that is not the purpose of the company, to let people
EastEnders,
know.
EastEnders, not a person called Albert Square.
No, there's no person called Albert Square. Although I did have a refuge collector who was called Tottenham Hotspur.
No.
In Gloucester, apparently so. I'm sure he changed his name to Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
You
would, wouldn't you?
What was the question again?
Albert.
Albert is a sustainability program which encourages productions to make their productions sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a production gets lots of points if they can prove that they have made a good effort to make the production sustainable by, i.e., not having plastic cups on set, making sure people have reusables.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe even on a scripted level, if you could like encourage your character to be seen to be using something which is, to use the same example, a flask as opposed to a plastic cup,
mm-hmm.
then you get all these points and it means you get a certificate at the end of the show. And it's just...
It's a really good idea.
It's a great idea. Productions do take it seriously, but it is quite hard sometimes to implement everything.
Yeah.
But I think even on like an awards, when you apply for awards, you have to make sure that you have an Albert certificate. Or something else.
That's cool. Does I know
that made that was so that I was concentrating so much on this beige that I don't know if that made any sense.
It did make sense. And I know you mentioned things like plastic, which is obviously environmentally an absolute disaster.
Mm.
But what about things like, would eating meat be considered a bad thing in Albert's eyes or not really?
Yeah. So they have meat free. So a lot of productions will have meat free Mondays.
That was a Linda McCartney thing, wasn't it?
It was. That was the reason I here we are painting a tureen. But that was the reason I wanted to, I became a vegetarian for a while, was the Linda McCartney, Paul McCartney Meat Free Mondays.
Oh, that's nice.
It was at a time when I was convinced that everything had to have like chicken or beef in it in order for it to be a meal, in that kind of like kind of grim way that, you know, you get into conversations with people that don't understand that you can have a meal without meat and it's very boring.
Yeah. Meat and two veg.
I was a bit like that for a while. But then you become a much better cook as well as soon as you start taking out some of these elements.
Definitely.
Oh, I'm doing my lips.
He says, having brought in a beef sandwich and a meat curry. Yeah, no, being vegetarians, really.
This is an Albert production now, as a result of me just even mentioning it.
Yeah, great. I'm really making the middle bit a pair of lips.
And yeah, you're giving that a good go, aren't you?
Mm. Do you have any, we've sort of maybe covered your favourite artists. Do you have any favourite artists you've not spoken about?
Well, Hockney is an obvious person to mention, but I just went to his exhibition.
Yeah,
I was appalled.
Is this the installation?
This was the four-walled thing.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I was appalled at some of the negative reviews towards it because I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went to a special viewing of it,
mm-hmm.
and it was before it opened. It's like its first tech run.
Yeah.
So it was the first time so many of the people that had been working on it had got to see it all in one piece. And I was one of like 40 people in the space.
Great.
With a hard hat because even the entrances weren't like functioning yet. And I walked in and Hockney was there.
Whoa.
And I've never been so starstruck in my life.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Obviously didn't say anything.
And you've met Celine Dion.
I've met Celine Dion.
So you didn't get a selfie with Hockney?
No.
Do you think he'd be amenable to selfies? I can't really.
I think he would, actually. Really? I don't want to, like, I wouldn't suggest that anyone does that to anyone.
Mm.
But I think he would be kind of up for it.
I did get a selfie recently with Beth Mead and Serena Wiegemann.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt really awful when I asked, but I also just thought this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Great. Where was that?
At Boreham Wood, I went to see Arsenal women playing Reading.
Yeah.
With my dad.
Yeah.
And we were just walking in and they were just sort of there milling around, like having a chat. Beth Mead was injured, so she was just sort of, well, obviously not playing, but just standing around.
Yeah.
And Boreham Wood is so sort of small and, you know, I was just walking past her. I was like, oh God, I know this is really cringe, but
yeah,
I went for it.
Did you have any preamble? Or did you go straight into the selfie?
So the people in front of me had heard me spot, because no one had noticed them there. They'd heard me spot Beth Mead and they went straight over to her and were like, Beth, can we have... So I then got Serena at that point because she's, I guess, slightly lesser known, weirdly.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm a big fan of yours. I was at the Euros final. And then I said to Beth Mead, oh, I hope you hope to see you back playing soon. What an absolute dweeb.
Well, at least as a conversation.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a conversation, but I did try and not just be like, can I have a picture?
Yeah.
But I did also do that. So didn't get a selfie with Hockney, but...
Didn't get a selfie with Hockney. Nope.
Did love the exhibition.
The exhibition's fantastic. Okay. It's 1 hour. I think it's 50 minutes. It plays in different chapters and it's sort of narrated by him using archive audio audio files. And it's a sort of semi-retrospective of his work.
Cool.
And on that scale, it's great to see. It's great for... the thing with art is, like, I feel like it's going through quite a good phase at the moment of educating people.
Mm-hmm.
For so long, it just didn't have the right educators.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hockney's a good educator.
Yeah.
And it takes people like him to keep everyone interested in it and not feel excluded from art. And Grayson Perry's another person that just does amazing stuff with, like, not making people feel like they're stupid.
Definitely.
And, like, that's what's great about this as well. You know, I think Grayson talks about in his book one of his books. I think it's a museum book. I can't remember the exact name. Playing to the Museum, it's called, which is good. I read that. I was like, oh, this is great. It's so nice to hear an artist that is so brilliant talking about how ridiculous the art world is and how difficult it is to understand most of these tags that come alongside the painting in a museum.
Definitely.
It's called art speak. He calls it art speak.
Yeah.
And there was a great, if ever you're online, have a look at this Brian Eno speech from the Turner Prize in the, I think, early noughties. The one, I think it Damien Hirst won that, the year that he was speaking.
Yeah.
He talks about this exact problem that there's no great educators in art at that time.
Yeah, Hockney and, as you say, Grayson definitely helped making everything more accessible.
Yeah.
And also the sort of incorporation of digital art has meant it's able to reach audiences that it otherwise wouldn't.
Absolutely.
You know? Do you own any art, Ollie?
I do.
What you got?
I've got a couple of paintings by a friend of mine called Conor Murgatroyd.
Ooh, that's a good name.
It's a great name.
Is he Irish?
I don't know what his ancestry is. He might have Irish blood in him, but he's from up north. He does these great... let me show you pictures of his stuff, but he's brilliant.
Yeah, I really like it.
He paints with enamel.
Oh, wow.
Like model fix paint, essentially, isn't it? And
because
there's a
quite
sort of
flat images, aren't they?
Really flat. There's a kind of naivety folk art about them.
Mm.
There's also a surrealist sort of element. See a lot of he's inspired a lot by Magritte, but he's just got such a great style.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Did he go to art college?
Yeah, I think he went to Chelsea.
Nice.
And he was a scaffolder for a long time until he transferred to being an artist full time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, great, great subject matter. Brilliant, brilliant artist.
I applied to Chelsea.
Did you not get in?
Well, I applied to Chelsea and Camberwell, and I put Camberwell as my first choice and Chelsea as my second choice.
Yeah.
And I did that thing you described earlier of turning up with my physical portfolio, as you had to do.
Yeah.
And got to the front of the queue, and this very snobby woman said to me, you've put Chelsea as second choice. And I said, yeah, I know. Because you'd have a first and second choice. Well, we're not going to look at it.
No.
Yeah. And so I got sent away. She said, you can change it to be your first choice or you can go. So I thought, fuck these.
Oh, my God. That's horrendous.
So I left. I'd got the bus down from Oxford for that.
Jesus.
I thought, well, I don't want to go here based on this conversation. And thank God I got into Camberwell.
Yeah, Camberwell's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I went to Goldsmiths, so just up the road from there.
Yeah.
But I did design, I didn't do art. If I had my time again, I would.
You'd gone to art college?
Yeah.
What did you say you did?
Design.
Design?
Yeah.
Nice. Was that quite a practical course?
Yeah, it was multidisciplinary as well. So as the years went on, I say that because I laugh there because I only did two of the 3 years. So
right.
As the year went on, you hone in on what you're interested in.
Yeah. What did you choose?
I just sort of figured that I wasn't really interested in it enough. And then I did work experience in my summer holidays, and that's how I got into TV.
Oh, nice.
So it was quite a nice, quick transition.
Mm.
But my interests in design have perked up again recently.
What have you been designing?
Nothing. Just the nature of the work that I do. Sometimes I work in development producer, and you have to make treatments and pitches. And having some kind of design skills is helpful.
Definitely.
So do you have that? Do you have Photoshop skills?
No, I that's something I need to learn. Actually, I want to do an oil painting course.
Do that. That I only did.
I did
a 1 day course.
Where did you do
it? Was
it?
I actually did a 3 day course, but the instructor got pinged. It was sort of pandemic,
COVID.
And so then I wasn't allowed to go in for the rest of the week. It's such a shame because I was on cloud nine with that course.
Yeah, where was it?
That was Chelsea, but based out of that building in King's Cross on Granary Square.
Oh, cool! And it was good, was it?
Yeah, really good. Do you know what? It just gave you the confidence to know what you're mixing and how to start. All you just need is to know how to start. But I think it's very easy.
I've got a slight fear of using oils, which I think is probably quite stupid. So I just would like to be a bit more
once you're confident
with it.
Up and running, it's great. And you can keep changing. Like, this is drying so quickly. I'm just not used to that.
Painting or sculpture?
Painting.
Portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
Naturalism or surrealism?
Surrealism.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Jesus. Why would you throw that in there?
It's a biggie, isn't it?
It's so big. I used to think absolutely not.
Mm.
This was based on Eric Gill.
Yeah.
There was an exhibition that they would put on, I think, in Margate.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing loads of his old wood cuttings or something. And there was a lot of controversy around it because he was awful.
Yeah.
And even at the BBC, I think the BBC building had a Eric Gill statue in the middle.
But
it's very hard. And I don't think I formed my own strong opinion of it yet.
Mm.
Because I think it requires a lot of thought. I feel like my response should absolutely be no.
Yeah.
This is a question you ask everyone. What's your takeaway on it?
I sort of feel similar to you. Like, I think ideologically I want to say yes.
Mm.
But in reality, when you know what someone's done, I do think it changes how much you can appreciate their art.
Yeah. And it feels weird to say it, but like the crime has a impact on the enjoyment as well, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
How many people have you had cancelled because of this question?
None yet.
And do you get a variety of answers?
Yeah. Tortured artist or practical producer?
Practical producer. I don't want to be a practical producer, but yeah, I think that's what I am.
Talk about or think about art?
Think about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Depends. But let's go close up because I'm interested in the technique at the moment.
Private view or view of privates?
private view.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Still life.
Producing or writing?
Writing.
Art or music?
Art.
Art or books?
Books.
Comedy or art?
This is like it's a good job I got a job lined up after this. I'm gonna say art,
yeah,
over comedy, because you can have fun with comedy. I don't know.
I don't think people are gonna retract their job offer to you based on the answer to that question. But
comedy or art? Well, look, they can. They're not completely opposites, are they?
No, they're not. That's the end of the quick fire.
Is that the end of the quick fire?
Yeah. What's the job you've got lined up, or can we not talk about it?
I think we can. Let me talk about it and then I'll let you know.
Okay.
It is called Everyone Else Burns.
Oh, great.
For Channel 4.
Yeah.
The reason I hesitate is I don't know if it's actually been greenlit yet.
Series 2.
Yeah.
I need to watch the first series.
I think it has.
Did you work on the first series?
I didn't work on the first series, but I've worked a lot with Simon mm-hmm. Bird, who's in it, as a director and as a producer. And he's brilliant to work with. And I think the show's great. And your previous guest, Morgana, was in it, and she's great.
Yeah.
And it'd be filming up in Manchester. I've not really done any filming outside of London.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just excited about that.
Great. That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. I've finished mine.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I've even given it a written name, which I never do on pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Can I get, like, 3 more minutes?
Yeah.
I don't want you to...
I don't know whether to tell you what I've called it or wait to show you.
No, show me, because I just want to quickly do a plate.
Okay.
I'm not happy with it.
Thrilled with mine, but I don't hate it.
Well, that's all right.
Gone a bit sort of Dada lips with it. Mae West lips.
This has gone a bit... you got Mae West lips. Yeah, this has gone a bit... this is very childish.
Yeah, but it's hard not to make a slab of meat with some lips on it childish. Are you going to eat this after?
Yeah. Do you want? You don't want it, do you?
No. As I said before, I can't even look at it. I've not been looking at it for the whole hour.
It's okay. Here we go. Right.
Oh, we need to sign them as well.
Okay. Let me take a picture of them, don't we?
Yeah. Right. Let me sign. Let's sign up there.
It's great to have. It's great to have a time limit because this would. I'd just be spending 6 hours on this.
Are you a bit of a perfectionist?
Well, yeah, the best thing about Instagram is you post the picture and then you can't really change it.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I post them.
So that it'll make you stop working on it.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not finished.
The smell reminds me of Cornish pasties. I used to have them when I was little.
Did you? Yeah, I had a Cornish pasty for a while. You're not from Cornwall, though.
My grandparents lived in Cornwall, so my dad was born there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love a Cornish pasty on the beach.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Mm. Lamb or beef? This is my quick fire round.
Beef.
Yeah. chicken or scallops?
I actually didn't know you got a choice in Cornish pasties. We'd always have a classic, which I think was beef.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm interested in the lamb.
Yeah, I have a lamb one. I don't know if that's true.
It's in your beef sandwich.
Yeah, I think you've answered it.
Have I?
What's in my beef sandwich?
Yeah. Is it just beef?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to guess they've whacked some rocket in
there.
They might have horseradish in there. It's a butcher's surprise, they call it.
Did they really?
No. I've got a butcher friend, though.
I'd be scared to eat a butcher's surprise. You've got a butcher friend?
Yeah.
How do they find it?
How do they find being a butcher?
Yeah.
Loved it. I've never met anyone that's more cut out to be
Is it a man?
A butcher. Yeah. He's a man called John, and he's got a shop in Ladywell called Meat John, and he was born to be a... born to butch.
Is that what he's done his whole life?
No. He was at art school with me, but he was studying history, I think. I used to live with him. He was one of the messiest people I've ever lived with.
Mm.
When I moved into the house with him, he, and he's not entirely to blame for this because there were other housemates, but there was a wheelie bin in the living room because it was easier just to put the rubbish straight into the wheelie bin.
When I moved in with Charlie and Ellie White, friend of the podcast, they'd lived there a year and they didn't have a bin.
What?
What were they doing? Using a carrier bag.
Grim.
When I arrived, I was like, so where's the bin?
It's absolutely grim. These people.
I've called mine Meat Kiss.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
That's very sweet. I'm just thinking I just might just do one small blue line.
Was Meat John like M-E-A-T?
Yeah. But if I recommend going to M-E-E-T him as well.
Yeah.
Because he is a good character.
It's funny, I bet you don't get many butchers who went to art college first.
I think he got there on clearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He got there on clearing. One little blue line is making all the difference.
Yeah. I've got no blue in mine.
You're going to see this blue line, you'll be like, oh, I should have fucking blue line.
Is it the Wedgwood blue you've used?
Oh, is that Wedgwood blue? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's nice, isn't it?
God, what a nice thing to say. The Wedgwood blue.
Jinx.
Makes you sound very
imagine jinxing
intellectual.
Someone on the podcast. Sorry, can't be. Oh, that's great.
Beautiful.
I love it.
I should have gone for the angle that you did. Those lips.
Those lips.
They're very
I love
disturbing.
The blue. It's quite...
Meat Kiss. Maybe I'll call mine Meat Kiss as well.
I like the... Great. Is it a shadow, the blue?
Yeah, it is.
I really like it. I love the colours. Yours is very delicate.
Thanks very much.
And I like the sort of moon-shaped plate underneath.
Yeah. Well, I was debating whether to put a little circle around it.
No, I think so.
But leave it as it is.
Less is more. Thank you so much,
Thank
Ollie.
You. Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug? Your artwork?
No, I don't want to do any commissions.
Yeah,
no,
fair enough.
I don't want to plug anything. Watch A Whole Lifetime with Jamie Dimitri.
Yeah,
That's on Netflix.
It's really good.
Every day is a premiere on Netflix.
Every day is a premiere.
That's what they
say.
That's what they told us to say.
Did
add it
say
to your
that?
List. They said, add it to your list. Every day's a premiere.
I love that. Roll the red carpet out in your flats.
Yep. Have a look at it. It's going to be on there forever.
It's great.
Thanks.
Every day's a premiere.
Great.
Thank you, Ollie.
Thanks, Annie.
Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.
How does Jonathan Ross wrap up?
thanks to all my guests this week. Next week we'll have Lily Allen, Buddy Conley, singing us out is 1975.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I wish I had Billy Connolly and Lily Allen next week, but I can't guarantee that. Goodbye.
What a delightful man. Hope you enjoyed listening. Do follow Ollie on Instagram. He's at Ollie Cambridge. He's very humble about his art, but he is a brilliant painter, so do check him out. And if you want to see our meaty, meaty, meaty paintings from today's episode, then follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. If you want to make a one-off donation, you can do that via the link in the show notes. And if you want to leave us a lovely, tasty, delicious 5-star review, then that would be very much appreciated. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.